welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, I got to tell you, since we've been doing this podcast, there have been some really fucking stupid news cycles that we've had the pleasure of being a part of.
Yeah.
I think the news cycle that's taken place over the past week with the top story in the news cycle might be the dumbest one that I can recall.
Yeah, it's, as I put it on the docket, simply the balloon. It's a very weird situation. It's a very much a political damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like, but the turnaround is incredibly fast. Of like,
you should
do this thing. I can't believe you did this thing. You're like, wait, wasn't that yesterday?
But not only that, but after that happened, we got a surprise from the writers that I was not expecting, which was amazing, which we'll talk about in a little
surprise
bit.
Surprise from the writers. It's like sweeps week.
Yeah.
It really is. It's that fucking stupid. So, yeah, if you haven't heard, and you should have at this point, there was a Chinese data collecting spy balloon floating above the United States, floating above a number of states, and the Republican Party reasonably said, or let me rephrase it, Republicans in general reasonably picked up their guns, aimed them into the air, and tried to shoot down a balloon that I believe was flying at 66,000 feet.
Yeah, so for those that aren't aware of firearms physics, and I didn't know this, but I learned it this week, if you fire a handgun into the air, right, the bullet maybe will reach 10,000 feet, give or take.
Yeah.
But yet you had Republicans out here with their, like, you know, posing as they do with their fucking assault rifles and shit like that. Be like, I'll take care of the balloon. I'll shoot it down at Joe Biden's line. Now, by the way, the reason that they weren't going to shoot it down right away is because it was over the American landmass, and the debris field from the balloon could have literally killed people if it hit them falling from the sky.
Yes. This is not
so that's why they didn't
balloon.
Want to do it.
This is a very large balloon, by the way.
Yes. But somehow Joe Biden not ordering the military to shoot this thing down immediately.
Yeah, without thinking
is just another just another example of Beijing Biden being in the pocket of big communism.
Beijing Biden. Yeah, look. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the idea. People were like, we got to shoot it down. I'm going to shoot it down. Like some Republican lady, like in a helicopter. I'm like, again, doesn't get high enough. She's like, I'm going to take a shot right now. I'm like, from where? Are you shooting through the blades of the helicopter? This isn't like shooting wolf that Sarah Palin advocated for in Alaska. No, this is different. But
my favorite take came from James Comer, who's the chair of the House Oversight Committee, by the way.
Oh boy, here we go.
Who went on Fox, and just the perfect confluence of GOP nonsense. And he's like, what's that balloon doing? Is nuclear weapons on board? Did the balloon take off from Wuhan? Like that was literally what he said.
Wow. What?
Yes.
From Wuhan? Yes. It left their COVID facility that they created COVID in, and it's there to drop it off on the Midwest where people don't get vaccinated.
COVID 23 is about to get shit all over America.
China was very cool about giving it to a couple of people and then pushing them slowly across the world. No, not this time. They don't have time to waste.
So we're going to send up a hot air balloon.
Yeah. Republicans are the, like, so weirdly paranoid about the dumbest shit, right? And I'm not saying the Chinese spy balloon is not a thing of concern. That I want to make clear. But like, did it come from Wuhan? Like that's madness. That's madness. Yeah. This is madness to believe that. So the Republicans got pissed again. the Democrats, the adults in the room, are like, well, we should talk to the military. We should figure out when and why to do this, blah, blah, blah. They talk to China, like, dude, what the fuck? And China's like,
Tony Blinken literally canceled a planned trip to China, like, in the wake of this. He was getting ready to go to China. Like, this should happen. He's like, nope, stay at home.
Yeah, no, fuck off, right? I mean, they're, you know, all of this is happening. They contact China. China's like, oh, it's a balloon that went off course. Really? How off course, dude? Jesus. Right? But they wanted to get, like, before you start to engage in what could be triggered into, like, an act of war, yeah, you use the soft powers first. You use your head first. Yeah. This is the difference between Republicans and Democrats. I shouldn't even say Republicans and Democrats. Like, nutty people and serious people, right? Because there are Republicans who wouldn't be like, yo, you shouldn't just shoot it down. And more on that later. So, you know, the idea that you would just shoot it down just because, like, that's the choice dipped in bravado is very silly to me. So eventually they figure out, after a couple of days, they figure out, hey, here's a place we can knock it down. They send up an F-22, not a handgun, knock it out of the sky, right?
Over the Atlantic Ocean, by the way. So come to find out, like, once they knock the balloon down, the debris field literally spanned across 7 miles.
Wow.
In the water. So, like, that. So, like, if you're curious as to why they didn't do it, like, right away when it was over land, that's fucking why. Like, that's a wide swath of danger to put a lot of people in.
I mean, the wild thing is, in a Republican mind, they just shot it down, and then what? Like,
right, it collected all the data that the balloon was harvesting.
Right, yeah. It just keeps all the little hard drive.
Yeah, where's the black box? The black box has, you know, like, that's exactly how it works, I'm sure.
Yeah. But the question is, like, they would have shot it down, and then what would have happened? They could have killed people. And then what? You cover it up, or you blame those people in a weird way, right? Because that's what the Republicans tend to do. Like, maybe slow down and realize that the, like, shoot from the hip approach doesn't really work with almost anything, really. As an adult, almost anything. But I did appreciate them actually, like, taking a second to think about it. Like, that's what you should do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the correct move.
But like you said, like, flipped on a dime. Like, it went from, I can't believe he's not shooting it down, to I can't believe he shot the balloon down. Like instantly.
Like, dude, I'm listening to you. Like, you cannot win with these people. You cannot win because they are not people of logic and reason. They just simply are not. So the balloon comes down, right? And everyone is like, ah, yes. Now we can stop talking about this stupid fucking story. These are the people in the media. No, because Marco Rubio, amongst many other people, got fucking embarrassed because they went on cable or, you know, the Sunday shows, and they're like, this is yet another reason that feckless Joe Biden, Beijing Biden, if you will. And then they were like, well, Marco, we've got a surprise for you. Military. You know, and they were before, like, this already happened.
Yeah, before, like the best part is like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is, like, I guess, like, the number two Republican in the House now at this point, basically, which is fucking weird. Went online and was like, you know, President Trump would have never allowed this to happen.
You know, why do you even open your mouth, you know?
And you had to know. You had to know that fate was being tempted at that very instant when she said that.
100%. Look, here's what I don't know a lot, but I do know this. If there is a thing that Republicans are criticizing Democrats about, they have 100% fucked it up on their own. And how strong Trump came out. Ah, shoot it down! All capital fucking letters. Well. United States military comes out. Department of Defense is like, see, but the balloon flew, or three different balloons, I don't know.
Yeah, but I say, like, hey, just so you guys know, under the Trump administration, happened not once, not twice, but thrice.
Yeah, and they were like, sorry.
And here's the best part. Trump didn't even realize that it ever happened.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it.
I'm of two minds because I would imagine they would have told him during his 5-minute twice a week intelligence briefing that he that it eventually got whittled down to.
You would hope
over the time of his administration.
Here's the thing. I think this is a bullshit excuse because I think he knew, and I don't think he gave a shit.
Probably not.
He gave a shit. Like, people didn't notice. Nobody said anything. And from my understanding, the previous balloons were not, like, one of the big issues. I mean, I'm sure they didn't like the fact that it was there to begin with. But one of the issues was it was flying at an altitude that would have fucked with planes, right? So they had to do something because if it hit a plane, you could kill a bunch of people, right?
Oh, sure.
So I think that's more of their reason for even saying anything about it. I mean, look, let's get real. This is a conversation that I don't think enough people are having or anybody is having. You think we don't fly shit over China?
Like, oh, 100%. Well, and that's the thing. Like, obviously, like, it's tit for tat. Like, it's yes. fucking, you know, but they just got caught this time.
Yes, right.
That's all it is.
I think if that thing was flying at, because I think planes fly at like 50-something thousand and above, like maybe 50 to 70,000, maybe not even 70,000 feet. If that thing was flying at like 30,000 feet where it was nowhere near any planes and no one saw anything, I don't think you'd ever heard about the story. I think maybe the U.S. would have been tracking it, right? They might have even tried to like stop data collection from going to the thing to back to China, right? Because I'm sure it's like some live connection. They may even have worked on that. But I guarantee you wouldn't have heard about it.
Well, one of the other reasons is that apparently during the Biden administration, they've updated their air surveillance. The military's upgraded their air surveillance capabilities. So I don't even think they detected it during the Trump administration. I think they learned about it retroactively.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Well, I mean that's what was reported by DOD. So at least.
Yeah. Well, look, if that's true, then yeah, Trump wouldn't know. But that doesn't mean it wasn't happening.
Right.
But if they did know at the time, there's no way he didn't know. There's no way he didn't know. No. I'll leave your balloon up if you guys help build.
Good news, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is on the case. Yeah. She wants now there to be an investigation as to why Trump did not know that there was balloons from China flying over the country during his presidency. To which I ask her, "Do you really want to dig into this to find out that he knew and there is probably documented?"
Yeah, I feel like take this as a win. I didn't know anything. Cool. I didn't either. Like, it's either one of two things. You're going to find out that he knew and he's lying to you, right? That's the most obvious. What is this, Occam's razor? What am I, an idiot? Yes, that is exactly what's going to happen, right? Yeah, roll that clip. It's like the best. Or the other reason, which is they didn't tell you because you didn't give a shit about briefings. And we said, hey, you know, there's some, you know, China, you know, spy equipment in the U.S. And you were like, I don't give a shit. So either you're going to have some young soldier get up there and tell you the truth, which you're going to hate and attack him for, right? They tried to tell you, but he didn't want to listen to it. Or he knew and he's just lying to you because that's what he does all the time. My money's on the first, but I wouldn't be surprised by the second.
I kind of want to see what those late stage PDBs looked like for him.
Just
sitting there, this is so boring. Like, Mr. President, I just read the header that has today's date.
Does it have Trump? Is it Trump Day? Like, it's got to have my name. shut up. Yeah,
it's Trumptober. It's not October. It's Trumptober.
Like, sir, I'm legally not going to say that. Like, you're going to say it. Like, say Trumptoberfest. I'm not going to say that.
Because John Bolton came out and he was like, I had no clue, and he was the fucking NSA director.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know, man. I am of very, very sound mind that guy is a fucking liar. So who cares? Like, Yeah, all of them. Next up, Biden to push universal insulin price cap at the State of the Union. As we're recording this, the State of the Union, I believe, is on.
Continuing the look forward tradition of recording a show during the State of the Union, because for nerds like us, the State of the Union is the ultimate. This could have been an email presentation for us, because we pay attention all the time. Like all the stuff that Biden's thought about. Like we've been
All the stories have leaked ahead of time.
Right. Like this is for you normies out there that can't bother to pay attention during the rest of the year.
There's a State of the Union. Thanks, Joe Biden, for giving me an update. Is it good? Is a state good? Because it always seems like it's good, even when it's on fucking fire. It's always good. So it's such a useless time for me. I remember when I first got into politics, and I'm like, oh, State of the Union. Okay, this will be interesting. And it was like, by like the fourth one, I was like, state's always good, like even when it's bad. I think this is more of a pep rally than a real speech.
Like, yeah, the only thing I like about the State of the Union is I like when the sergeant at arms announces the president to come into the room. Like, that's always fun. I love when the president touts like an actual legitimate accomplishment, but the other party is so petty that they just stand with their hands under their ass while the other party gets like a standing ovation.
I mean, we did get the I don't remember his name, Joe something, who yelled out "You lie" during Obama's State of the Union. That was classy. That really gave me a good feeling in my heart. The first black president has his interrupted by a screaming white man who can't control himself
at his first State of the Union, no less.
Well, of course. I'm surprised "You lie" was the only thing he said. I was like, oh, surely this is going to be followed up with a nice peppering of racial animus. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, those are the only things I like. Everything else is just, you know, touting the stuff that we already knew. It's putting some shine on some things that are maybe not as good. I will say, watching Trump get overblown and fucking racist as shit was something, at least. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was fun, but it sure was interesting to see someone just be so, you know, nakedly racist and xenophobic during one of these things, such is life.
Well, at least we only got one. that's the best part. We only got, well, no, I guess we got several.
There were three.
Yeah, that's right. It's every year, not every. Oh God, that's right. Because the last one was was Nancy Pelosi ripping up the speech, which is pretty good.
I wonder if Kevin McCarthy's gonna try to pull that same move.
No, Well, I don't know if he'll try, but he said that he's not. He doesn't want any shenanigans from any Republicans, and he specifically mentioned like the Nancy Pelosi tearing of the speech thing. Best of luck, Kevin. Marjorie Taylor Greene is probably going to scream out something. Like,
did you see her on? Did you see her posting online before the State of the Union? They're like she was walking around Congress with a fucking white balloon in her hand, like an idiot. So, and then because like I said, the Boebert romance is over between them. They literally asked Lauren Boebert, like, are you going to do some wild shit at the State of the Union? And she's like, oh, I'm not going to walk in with a white balloon if that's what you're asking. So,
oh, damn. Wow. Look, that is a good shot from one Republican against another Republican. That ain't even close to the best one you're getting tonight. Look, if you're not a premium member, look, let me tee this one up for you. If you're not a premium member, and Brad doesn't even know about this.
No, I don't even know about this yet.
If you're not a premium member, let me just give you what I wrote as the headline for our very last story, This Week in Stupid. 2024's Republican primary in one perfect image.
Oh, shit. I know what image this is actually now. So. Okay. Yeah.
The election has started, ladies and gentlemen.
It has. If it's what I think it is, I love it. Especially later in the summer.
I just saw the image maybe 35 minutes ago, and I was like, "Is this real?"
Oh, we'll get there.
Amazing.
Amazing. My favorite. So before we get into the insulin story, my favorite McCarthy thing this week is apparently he met with Biden a couple of days ago, and he asked Joe Biden to please stop calling us extreme MAGA Republicans. I don't think that's very helpful, President Biden, when you call us names like that. We need civility.
Shut up. Take your extreme MAGA Republican ass out of my office. I would have literally called a press conference immediately after that. And then called them that the entire time.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just want to let you know, like, Kevin McCarthy just asked me to stop calling them extreme MAGA Republicans. And I also want to let you know, in a related story, Kevin McCarthy is a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, is that the end of the press meeting? Yeah, that's it. You guys can go.
Aviators on, Biden out. See ya.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, please stop calling me the thing that I am. All right, well, then stop being the thing that
you are. From the party that insists on calling Democratic congresspeople the Democrats, or the Democrat Party. The Democrat
right.
Party.
Right. Oh, it's, you know, red, I mean? Like
we, yeah, we get it.
We wow, get you it. Guys are so fucking clever. You're literally a bunch of juveniles. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, so Biden is going to come out and push for universal insulin price cap at tonight's State of the Union. Obviously, this is a wildly popular idea. I think it's popular with like well over 70% of Americans. I feel like it should be popular with every American, frankly. I think maybe people wouldn't be hesitant if they knew what the cost of insulin really was, because I don't think people know. Like, I knew it was expensive, and then I talked to somebody I knew who has to take it, and they were telling me the price, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, and like, I know they don't have that kind of money. Like, that's crazy for something you need to keep you alive, basically. You know, before
I'm gonna say it's insane to me in this country that we don't have like laws in place that prevent profiteering off of life saving or chronically needed medication. Like, that's it's wild to me that we don't.
Right. Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense. Look, I feel like this is a slam dunk, right? If you're a Republican or Democrat.
Except well, that doing so would give Biden and the Democrats a major win that they could carry with them into 2024, which is why Republicans won't go for it.
Of course. And that's really sad, because the goal should be to help Americans. And look, I get it. I would honestly, the best way to handle that, if you're like, look, we don't want to give the Biden administration a win. Look, beat them on other shit. This is an easy one. Spoiler alert. Your constituency really fucking needs it, right? Like, really needs it. And I'm not saying that to be a dick. I really am not. But a lot of folks in red states who would largely identify as Republicans or conservatives at the minimum are people who suffer from diabetes. This is a fact. Like, and it's not like liberal Democrats don't, but I'm just saying there is a large swath of your political population, your people who do suffer from this. So you just lost two-thirds of the deaths from COVID have been on your side, Republicans. Maybe making sure people have insulin so they can stay alive and don't die of a chronic illness, maybe that's in your best interest. But here's what I would do. I would say, look, everybody on my side who agrees with this shit, and like we're getting a 50-50 win here. And make it, I mean, like, look, Biden, we'll sign on, but we sign on with everybody fucking there, right? You on the steps of fucking Congress.
Bring the Republicans who sponsor the bill to the fucking White House when you sign the motherfucker. Go for it.
No, but I'd say win for Americans. Right. But I would say from McCarthy's perspective, you should be able to get damn near everybody in your party on board for this. Like, it should be, in fact, a unanimous vote. Like, it shouldn't even be fucking close. Dude, insulin is like $400-$600 for people, dude. If you cap it at $35, that's a win for everybody.
But the other problem is, too, it's not just the House. It's not just the House, though. No, like, you need to get McConnell to pull in the Republican Senate as well.
I think he could. Honestly, I think he could. If they wanted to solve the problem. The issue is, do they really want to, right?
No, not at all.
Problem is, senators are definitely more in the pocket of pharmaceutical companies than anybody, right? Because that's where the big money is. But yeah, that's what I would say. I'd be like, look, we'll do it, but like, we're all of us are there. Like, that way, like, even if you're watching the news and you're a Republican and you hate Democrats and you hate Joe Biden, you're like, well, look at all those Republicans there. They Democrats wouldn't have done it without him, right? Like, you could justify it in your mind however you want. Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. Just help people. Like, I don't really care. Just get the price down. It's insane. But yeah, it's a thing that should actually be quite easy to take care of. So the president also plans to call for continuing to lower health insurance costs, pointing to expanded Obamacare subsidies that the administration estimated lowered premiums for an average of $800 per year per person. Not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Those are always tough to message, though, because you don't – it's tough when they're not just handing you a check. You know what I mean? Like when you save it on your taxes or when you're saving $50 at a time, it's not nearly as present as it is if they're just like, well, here's a giant check for $2,000, guy. Like, have fun, go spend that money. Yeah, have a good time.
I'm gonna buy a TV. But yeah, it's a little hard to show what you're not spending. Like, it's nigh impossible for people who are not hard paying attention to their bills. Now, if you had somebody who, again, was paying $600, $700 for insulin, and it's like, yo, it's $35, they're going to notice that shit. Like, it's impossible not to notice.
But that's the funny thing is that if Medicare for All ever did happen, just like the ACA, it would be wildly unpopular at first because people – all they would see is like, holy shit, look how much my taxes went up. Not even connecting the fact that, oh, I don't have a health insurance premium anymore. Like they would completely ignore that and just be like, wow, my taxes, they're out of control.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you have a leg. You wouldn't have had one. Like, your heart is still in your chest. Grandma died in a bed, instead of on the street.
I'm all for it. Cap insulin. They should have done it before. It is, in fact, capped if you are a Medicare
of course
user, because I just got passed. I think it's capped at $35, which is awesome. I mean, great. I wish everybody had that luxury. I did put this story in as well as sort of a supplemental to that story. There's a proposal to cap EpiPens to $60 in Colorado, right? They're trying to get it passed. I don't know how close it is to getting passed. Considering it's Colorado, probably it probably will pass. But right now, House Bill 1002 basically pushes to cap the out-of-pocket cost at $60. Right now, EpiPens cost about $8 to manufacture, and a two-pack of EpiPens costs $690 without insurance
for That's something insane.
That will literally save your life. If you're
literally save your fucking life. If you carry a risk of a severe allergy. Yeah. Right. Like that's so, and the worst part is they go bad. Like if you don't use them, like they do expire. So like you might pay $700 for nothing.
Right. Right. Most people do for insurance purposes, basically
like just to have it just in case.
Yep, because I have to imagine not the on far, far more people don't use an EpiPen but have it than have to use it every single year, right? Because you'd get really good about like making sure you're okay, and not eating the wrong things.
Those things are cool shit, by the way. They were the most fun thing to do when I volunteered as an EMT briefly. Because it's literally just a fucking spring-loaded needle that you just jab in someone's thigh and let it rock. And you always had to trick people because it didn't work as well if their muscle was tense. So you're like, all right, I'm going to do it on three. And they're like, all right. And then you're like, one, bam.
Just smash. Son of a bitch. That's hilarious.
You said three. Like, yeah, I know.
I'm bad at counting. Sorry.
I'm a fucking liar, but you're a liar. So congratulations.
Remember when I said it was going to be on three? I lied. And then you throw that person down a ravine. But the crazy part is the $690 without insurance costs now, that's up from $90 in 2006.
Again, why are we letting pharmaceutical companies do this? I don't understand. Well, oh, wait, no, I do understand. It's because they're fucking lobbying the shit out of you. Yeah. Yeah. But
I mean, that's absolutely insane. Up $600.
It's nuts.
It's nuts. Come on. Like, that's reprehensible to me.
I just don't understand how, like, any normal brained person can, like, fucking look at that and be like, well, this is fine. Like, it's reprehensible.
Yeah. And then they go, there's nothing you can do about it. No, but there is.
Yeah, there literally is.
Yeah.
There literally is. Like again, what do you say, $8 to manufacture?
$8.
And EpiPen, so 16 for a 2-pack. Let's throw in another fucking, you know, $4 in, you know, shipping costs and handling and stuff like that. So the industry was already profiting $75 per 2-pack sold. And they're like, you know what? We need to increase this by like 800% to make costs. Like,
we're barely surviving. Are you? You're barely making it. But yeah, like a real shithead move. Like, it just really is. But
well, it's an Ouroboros of pain, as it were, because when the prices go up like that, insurance companies are paying them, and they're just like, wow, insurance companies, like, we're paying a shitload of money for these EpiPens. Got to raise your premiums, and it just fucking and the only person that gets fucked in the end is the end user.
Always. I mean, but that's
yep.
I mean, what else is new? You know, it's
yep.
This idea of just kicking poor people while they're down. It's just
you're kicking middle class people too. Like you're not kicking them down the ladder, but you're still kicking us in the teeth.
Yeah, yeah, you are. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like, dude, just again, just help people. Like, this is
and this is why. Again, this is why the Medicare, like the fucking socialized healthcare fight doesn't make sense to me, because you're never going to get that in one fell swoop. You got to move the ball. Like, you don't go for the 80-yard touchdown pass. You fucking go, you run the ball down the field and you try to, you know, get some 10, 15-yard passes, and you have a nice sustained drive. Some stuff like this, like being able to put caps on, again, life-saving medication, medication that's required for chronic illnesses, putting caps on that stuff, you can get a groundswell of support for that sort of thing and potentially get that across the line. Like it is certainly possible, and it'll happen a hell of a lot faster than Medicare for All will. But there's a lot of people out there who don't see the benefit in incrementally fixing the system. But the thing is, when you incrementally fix it, and again, people see the benefits of what you're doing, and they're like, oh, this is actually great, then you can do a little more, and then you can do a little more. Like, you can't have the universal healthcare talk without the ACA happening and being successful.
Well, and you also, to your larger point, is you have to change people's minds a little bit at a time. Like, like this idea, and I get it, right? Like, I get why people feel this way. I also understand that it is a level of like weird blinders that you have on, right? You have realized that Medicare for All makes total sense and could help tons of people, and great, it would work. But what you're doing is you're assuming that everyone will come to that conclusion all at once, and they won't. And when they don't, they will fight against the thing that even benefits them. A lot of people, and it's not just like 50%. It's well over 50%, and I'm not just talking about Medicare at this, Medicare for All at this point, but any major idea. A lot of people don't like change, like a lot of change real fast. They just don't, and so you got to be like, "Hey, man, slightly less you're paying for insurance. All right, I like that. Insurance is way too high. You know, I agree. Hey, man, like, doesn't your mom and your brother have diabetes? Yeah, man, insulin's really high. Hey, man, how about we cap the price for to $35? You guys are normally paying $1,600 for this. Wow, are you serious? How do you do that? Well, the government has a little bit of leeway, and we can do that through the ACA that you helped pass. All right, I like that. Hey, man, do you like – and you just keep coming back – and you ease them through, and before you know it, and they're like, hey, we're going to do Medicare for All, and this is the government handle it. And you go, yeah, they've done a lot of shit that's been really beneficial. Now, you're going to have people who don't realize that, even when you're bringing them along, right? They're like, yeah,
right.
You know, don't get your government hands off my Social Security or shit like that, right?
Right, but that's the immovable 30%.
Yeah, you never
that
get
already
those
know.
People. Yeah, you never get those people, even though they're going to, you know, they'll be like Ayn Rand, right? They'll use all of your services right up until they die as they're writing their book about how government is the worst. Oh, give me that sweet government health care. as she's dying on a rock, right? But those are people you're never going to move. They're always going to lie to themselves or lie publicly about what they like or dislike about it. But 70, 80, 90% of people, you can pull across that threshold if you take your time. You try to rip everybody and move them across that line, you lose a lot more people, dude. And people go, yep, nope, fuck this for life. And you're like, no, but we have all these things. And it's like, I don't even want it because you didn't convince me enough. And some people are just contrarians in that way. There's a lot of them. Welcome to America. So,
yeah. Welcome to the world.
Well, you're right. So you got to kind of nickel and dime it. America, look, Americans are really not that educated about a lot of shit. So you do have to take your time.
And spoiler alert, in certain parts of the country, that ain't getting any better. In fact, it's going the opposite direction, as we will soon find out later on in the show.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis to take control of Disney's Orlando district under new bill. Wait a second.
So they passed the original bill where they were going to get rid of the special status that the Disney World Resort basically had been enjoying since its inception in Florida. And then they're like, well, this is wildly unpopular and is going to cost taxpayers literally $1 billion across two counties. So maybe let's roll that back. And they repealed it. Now we're going back to fucking let's fuck the mouse again.
Yeah. Well, here's the reality. The mouse is going to fuck you. you are not going to do anything. I guess DeSantis feels emboldened now that Chapek is gone from Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're not going to be the governor of Florida long. And the second that money from Disney isn't flowing into the pockets of politicians, this shit is done.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney normally plays both sides of the fence, right? Like they're weirdly very good as a corporation. If you're going to give money, they're just like, we'll just give to everybody. We'll just corrupt everybody. we don't have a party we prefer.
They're traditional giant corporation. They're like, we're just spreading that government that Disney cheese around to every single person so that everyone likes us.
That's it. Right. So they don't have any necessarily, major enemies because they make friends with everybody, right? In the most corrupt way they can think to do. But I don't see how this is going to help Ron DeSantis, except for we already know what he's doing. This is just talking points for 2024. That's all this is.
Yep. Yep. And again, weirdly for the pro-business party, this would be a huge feather in his cap to be like, I stood toe-to-toe with Disney and didn't blink. You know what I mean? But again, like, I think you're correct, though, is that the downstream ramifications for him, potentially, he would not even have to hold, because if he somehow wins the primary and gets elected president, he's like, well, deuces, I'm out of here anyway. And then it's like his lieutenant governor. Problem is, if he does not win the primary or does not win the presidency and he's still the governor of Florida.
Yeah. And look, more on that later. I don't think he is going to be the president. No, I don't. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think he's going to be the Republican candidate for president at all. I don't think so. But look, this idea of going after this and trying to make hay out of it because you don't like the fact that they didn't kowtow to your, like, don't say gay bullshit is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Look, I'll be the last person to defend Disney as a corporation, right? They're massive. They do whatever the fuck they want, and it's really disturbing in a lot of ways. But they weren't bothering anybody, dude. They were just standing up for, like, equality, and now you're making this your pet project. But it just goes to show you, they don't really give a shit. He doesn't even give a shit about Disney. He doesn't really give a shit about this issue. He just is making hay for a political expediency. At the same time, Trump came out and was like, I'm going to like basically go after trans kids. Like they were trying to like one up each other on who was going to be the biggest piece of shit going into 2024.
Yeah. Well, and so what he's done now to kind of change things up a little bit. So essentially he's not getting rid of the special status. It's just that Disney won't be in control of it anymore. Essentially he's creating a board that will control all the decisions that are made, and he gets to appoint all five members of the board. Essentially.
Okay. Okay. We'll see how long that board lasts.
Oh yeah. Oh, again, this could colossally blow up in his face. I don't even think it's going to be enacted by the time he's running for president, because they're going to, Disney's going to challenge us legally.
Of course.
Like, yeah. And it's going to take a while, and it's going to probably roll all the way up to the fucking Supreme Court. And, you know, so.
And Disney's like, hey, remember how I pay for you guys to be here? They're like, doing a mouse a favor. Like, ah, I love the lad. Right. You're good. Don't worry about it. I mean, so it's
We don't need all 90, just 7. Like, Clarence, Sam, you can shut the fuck up and say whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, did Mickey Mouse standing in the back, like, keep your mouth shut. Shut up. You know who pays you. And they do. Next up, Biden will call. I should have put this up earlier. I'm sorry. Biden will be calling for a billionaire's tax and a bigger levy on stock buybacks in the State of the Union. How upset will Republicans be about this?
On a scale, incredibly. And how upset will neoprogs be about this? Incredibly, because they'll say it's not enough. So
that is correct. Yeah. We haven't talked about our dear friends to the left of us.
No. So here's what's funny is that, do you know what the current buyback tax is on, or what the current levy is on stock buybacks in this country?
Is it 1%?
It's 1%. He wants to raise it to 4%. Seems reasonable, honestly.
I think it's unreasonable.
Too low.
I think it's too low. Like,
it's too low.
Dude, they fuck people over and do stock buybacks, and they go crazy. They generate a shit ton of profit, fire a bunch of people, and then do stock buybacks with all this extra cash. Like, no, right. It should be way over 4%. But even if you said it was 10%, like, okay, that seems reasonable to me. Look, 4%, you know, basically quadrupling this, shouldn't be an issue. Oh, but it will be.
Like, oh, of course. And so we'll you know, calling for a minimum tax on the richest people, because again, those are all of the donors of the Republican Party. Yeah, essentially.
Of course. Well, and it's really funny because, you know, this week they had, or I guess last week, we didn't talk about it. They had the whole thing of Republicans trying to push this new sales tax, right? Was it 20% or something like that?
Yeah, they wanted to do like, so they're the Republicans' grand plan. This is so fucking stupid.
It's incredible.
Is basic. It's so dumb. It's literally the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Why they think this would work? No clue. They want to eliminate federal income tax. So like, you just wouldn't pay federal income tax on like when you get paid at all. None. Like, you still pay for Medicare and Social Security, but federal income tax, no, it's gone. And in exchange, they levy a federal sales tax of like 20%.
Yeah.
On everything that you buy.
Yeah. Hey, dum-dum. People are going to definitely notice that way more.
Oh, yeah. And normal people are going to spend way more money in that than they would with federal income tax, most likely, in most cases.
No, actually, this is the problem. No, they wouldn't, right? Like,
really?
They don't. The taking away federal income tax as it stands right now and replacing it with this sales tax, because it's a consumption tax, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in how much the government would generate is so stark. It's like 23, I think it's like $23 billion, or maybe it's even more than that.
It's got to be more than that.
Or maybe it's like $230 billion or something like that, difference in what they would get, right? Like less, they would get less, right? you couldn't run the government. You couldn't run basic services across the states and anything if this particular tax went into play, right? This scenario, right? It's kind of like when Republicans were like, we'll just do a simple tax, right? It's like, what's his face? It's like
Paul Ryan, you can fill out your taxes on a fucking flashcard. Like, no, right. you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you could if the IRS was properly funded, but no, you can't.
Well, also, by the way, just as a side note, before we get back into this, when Republicans say that, like, you could fill it out on just a little card or like it's real simple or whatever, what they're telling you is that your taxes are easy. Ask them, can they fill theirs out? No, because they have deductions and all this other shit that they do. Look, my taxes used to be easy too. Like back when I had just a job and nothing else, it was like fucking the easy whatever tax. I'd knock that shit out in like 10 minutes. Like, what does everyone complain about their taxes? It's so easy. No, but as you get older and you have things that depreciate and like I have things that I write off and stuff like that. Yeah, my taxes take a fucking while to do. It's not something I would be doing, and nor is it something you could do on a card. So just know that's a chump move, right? They're like, you could fill yours out in the next card. No, not me. I got like mad shit going on over here. I'm not paying anything because I'm writing everything off.
Well, no, but in all reality, like the thing is, all these records that like all these deductions records that you fill out, government already knows all this. They're already aware. Like write offs, yes, you'd have to provide that yourself because they don't know that. But for the most part, like anything that comes on a form to you, they know. So like if the IRS is properly funded, they could send you a thing that's just like, here's what you owe or here's what we owe you, you know, submit your deductions and, you know, then move on with your merry way. But we have to do all this shit ourselves because, again, lobbying is a thing and tax preparation software companies are just like, no, we need people to do their taxes because we need you to pay us $50 or $100 or however much it costs per year to have us do the shit for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's overly complex for a reason, but yeah. Yep. But at the end of the day, making the stock buybacks increase to 4%. Again, you could increase it to 10%. I wouldn't give a shit. I wouldn't bat an eye.
Actually, make it 25% and make it prohibitively expensive for companies to do this shit all the time.
I don't disagree with that, actually. I think that's a better point. Yeah. Because that's all it is. It's a way to generate a shit ton of work, cut your workforce, buy a bunch of stocks back, slowly but surely increase that workforce again. Because they're already running at a clip, you're probably okay for a while. You don't really have to hire anymore. Then eventually, if you want to step shit up again, you hire up some more people and you do it all over.
Yeah. Right. For people that don't understand, like when a corporation does a buyback of their stock, what's literally happening is the corporation's like, holy shit, we have so much fucking profit and we don't know what to do with any of it.
Yep.
And as opposed to giving it to their workers, they're just like, you know what? Let's give it to our shareholders, baby. Woo! Like, this is going to be great.
Yep. We're literally buying our stocks off the market so that we own more shares of it. Right? Like, it's – oh, my God. It's just absolutely nuts. But, look, I like it. It sounds like the plan here in this, you know, in this second half of this this first go round, he's really sort of stepping on the gas as far as like the really liberal policies, which is cool.
Well, and so we talk about DeSantis setting the table for 2024. This is Biden setting the table for 2024. Yep. He knows that there's no chance in hell that these would get passed with Republicans in control of the House. So he is putting a stake in the ground that he can campaign on going through the presidency and be like, this is what I want to do if you can give us back the House and give us and keep control of the Senate and reelect me. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I think it's smart money. All right, Brad. Brad brought in a home to share.
Look, it's, you know, it's Black History Month.
yeah, go fuck yourself, Brad.
And I figured that it would be great to feature a one of our great modern Black historians and bang on her bullshit this week.
Okay, so first off, you know, the kids love it. All right, here we go. Candace Owens. Oh, boy. The The moron, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. Number four on the monthly countdown from Rod at the Black Eye Who Tips.
Was she number four?
Oh, she's that, number four.
That countdown has been amazing. She deserves to be there. All right. So here she is explaining slavery. American slavery. There you go.
What does this rely upon? Emotion. This is like Black Lives Matter. It just really was an ad for Black Lives Matter. People to be angry. They sound.
I'm sorry. One second. We'll be chiming in from time to time here. Why is it that everyone associated with Prager and all of like her, Charlie Kirk, what's the leprechaun? What's his name? Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro, yeah.
why do they all take speaking fast as a sign of intelligence? Speaking clearly, you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to talk like a robot, but speaking clearly and getting your thoughts across where people can actually take what you say, process it and, you know, understand what you mean is a sign of intelligence. Mm-hmm. Speaking fast is the same thing the guy who was selling the monorail in The Simpsons does. It's like you're trying to get shit across so quickly that people aren't paying attention to what you're
saying. Well, and here's the thing. Like anyone who orates, pauses are important because pauses draw your audience in, because a well-timed pause will kind of get people like, you know, people are waiting, like they're lingering. They're like, you know, it kind of draws them in, brings them on the edge of their seat a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Running your mouth a mile a minute just makes you look like an idiot. So.
Yeah. So look, you know who didn't take any pauses? Hitler. I'm just saying. Guy was like, he was all in. It's really weird. Just happenstance.
Angry when they're on stage. Slaves built this country. Slaves built this country. Slaves built this country. Everything that we have, we owe to slavery and slaves. And this is an argument for reparations. We've heard this nonsense over and over again from people who've never bothered to open a history book, or maybe they have actually. Maybe it's because they've opened history books in school that they learn this garbage nowadays.
I love that's the pivot. I think she lands on that as she's speaking.
Yeah,
I was like she says like they haven't opened a history book, and then she's like, oh wait a second, actually the liberals control the schools, and we could just get that knife in there,
right? It was one of those, like, you could see it dawn on her, like, in real time. She's like, oh, I know where I'm going. I had no idea where I was. I was just starting, and I didn't know where I was going to finish. But, like, halfway through the sentence, I figured it out, and I'm just going to hard pivot to this point. Like, it's super obvious. Here we go.
Actually, I would say it is because they open history book and they learn this garbage, which is just completely being washed with progressive ideals and not based in fact at all anymore. I actually had, you know, Mediaite, whatever that website is, write an article, Hippies on Me, for telling the truth about the history of slavery by saying that the majority of people did not have slaves. Obviously, a very small fraction of uber wealthy people had slaves, people that were fighting the Civil War. It was a poor man's fight in a rich man's war. They were not fighting to keep slavery in place. They didn't have slaves, right?
Pause for a second. Yeah. So
what an idiot.
This is a case in point of her being actually making a correct point, but for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because it was a poor man's war. It was a rich man's war fought by poor people. But it was the rich people, the rich slave owners who wanted the poor fucking Southerners to be like, you have to protect our economy. Like, that's the only way. And the only way we can do it is with slavery, much like every other war in the fucking history of mankind, pretty much.
Yeah, and look, not only that, this is what you guys do right now. You guys fight the battles for rich Republicans on things that don't benefit you, right? Like, she's rich, whatever, but she's not rich like, you know, some of the big, you know, billionaire donors are. Those are the people who control your strengths. Those are the people who tell you to go out and fight and say this shit. And you go out there and you fight and say that shit. And you convince people who have even less money and less power than you do on your side to fight against things that help them, like healthcare. So it's not crazy that poor white Southerners would fight a war for rich white Southerners to keep slaves, because that's what you guys still do today. Nothing has changed. You just happen to be brown now. Like, that's it. That's the only fucking difference. All right. So here we go.
There was other components of the Civil War. People don't like to talk about that. Well, I'm going to say something else is going to offend people because it's true, right?
What other
notice how she's like, there's other reasons the Civil War is fought. Doesn't mention a single
one
of them.
Doesn't mention any of them. Mention any of them, and I guarantee you I can draw them all back to slavery. Look, guess what? I don't have to guess why the states seceded from the Union. And this was my favorite thing to do to white people, like, a number of years ago when people didn't realize, like, certain shit was just on the internet to read.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you ever have an argument with somebody and they tell you that the Civil War, the reason why the states seceded from the Union wasn't because of slavery, here's an easy, super easy thing to do. Pull up Wikipedia, find the articles of secession for each state. They all have their own separate entry. And read it. Slavery is in the first sentence in almost all of them. And if it's not the first sentence, it's the second sentence. It just goes to show you. It's like, we're leaving because slavery, bro. And right. It's like, you don't have to guess. They tell you.
Yeah. People who tell you that slavery was not the reason do not understand that, again, the Southern economy at the time was literally held up on the backs of slaves, period. Like, without slavery, their economy would collapse.
Yeah. And, like, again, these are not arguments. These are facts. Like,
right.
This is facts.
The idea that this country and the success that this country had is because slaves built this country, history betrays this narrative.
It literally does not. It literally does not. The reason that America is as rich as it is because for a number of fucking decades, they didn't have to pay people to do hard labor. Yeah. Yeah. That's the reason. And by the way, if you go, well, but what about all this other money that we generated? Oh, you mean money we generated during wartime? Yeah, that was another benefit. But the fact of the matter is, you had an entire population that worked for free. Mm-hmm. No other major nation in the world had that.
It's real easy to fucking make a shitload of money when you don't have to pay the labor. You know, gotta say.
Yeah, it's look, how do these people get so rich? These textile companies. Gee, I can't imagine. they're not paying for the fucking material. They're pulling it right out of the fucking ground. They're not paying somebody for the raw materials, and they're not paying the people to fucking make it. Yeah. Like, hello, what the fuck?
Okay. Let me first say, obviously, we all know slavery was abhorrent. It was an abhorrent practice all over the world, did not begin in America, and actually did not begin with white people, right? It still goes on today, and it is black and brown people that keep those institutions up, and actually white people were the first people to end the institutions of slavery.
Irrelevant. It is irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. Well, they had slave, you know, white people were the first ones to get rid of slavery. They were also the ones who do it on a global fucking scale. And yeah. Then they were like, this seems fucked up. Yeah, okay. And the people that you're talking about who didn't, the Confederacy, you know, those innocent whites down there, they literally defended it. They literally defended it. So your party literally defends their position in this war. So what are you talking about? Right? This idea, oh, well, slavery still happens today. Yeah, it does. In places like Liberia and shit like that. And it's horrendous. No one thinks it's okay. No one thinks it's okay. Also, mm-hmm. No one's like, hey, man, like, as long as they're, you know, like, are those people really financially benefiting? We don't know. No, we just call it abhorrent because it is. But you bringing up like horrendous shit in those countries doesn't absolve white people for their shit back in America, you know, during slave time. It doesn't. One thing has zero to do with the other. Oh, it's still going on. Okay, so fucking what? Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's fucking irrelevant. It's a completely irrelevant conversation. The point is, like, this idea that history portrays this notion that America was built on slavery, no, it doesn't. Your bullshit version of history betrays them, but not reality, sweetheart. The reason why you have I will never understand a black person going, well, you know, it was terrible, but like this country wasn't fundamentally built on that. If you weren't Candace Owens and you just walked around, go walk around the places that you do if you weren't fucking famous and see how you're treated. You made your name because you were treated differently as a black woman by white people. That reason they could feel the need to do that is because this country is literally soaked in racism. It is. Like, it is soaked in the blood of racism. That is why it exists it the way it does. Other countries, they have their problems. Absolutely. But guess what? This is not one of them on this scale. It is a uniquely American problem because it is a uniquely American institution in the way that slavery was handled. Right? You could say, well, you know, they had slaves in Africa before slaves in the U.S. That's true. But guess what? You know what they didn't do? Like, those tribes that did slavery were tribes when they did warring, right? That happened in native countries or native tribes too in America before it became the U.S., right? Like, that happened. Indentured servitude and shit like that happened in Europe as well. But eventually those people were let go, or they were made to be a part of that actual tribe or whatever that they were imprisoned by. Like, those are actual facts of history. It wasn't until Europeans picked black people off of the continent of Africa and brought them here that they never had a chance to leave it. It was no longer a servitude. You were no longer then became a part of those people, something like that. That was never a thing, right? Even in America, when Native Americans, who did in fact have black, some had black slaves, that's true. Those people then became part of their tribes on American fucking soil, while white people were doing the exact opposite of that. So don't talk about history betraying these notions of slavery. No, history very much shows you exactly what happened. You don't want to admit it because the people that pay you to say you're bullshit as their little fucking dancing fucking pickaninny, those people don't want that fucking part of slavery talked about. And you are happy to do that dance for money. And that makes you a fucking sellout.
Yeah. Like I said, she proves without a doubt that there is no bottom to the well of being the fucking black person that makes racist white people feel comfortable.
There isn't. There is no bottom to that fucking barrel, man. And I told myself I was not going to get fired up. I said it.
I knew you couldn't resist.
I can't. I don't care for her. I don't like the cut of her jib, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
She fucking sucks. And again, to your point, like, if you just look at her personal history,
right,
it's obvious that this is a grift. Like, it's obvious.
Yeah, I don't understand how Republicans are like, nah, she's on our side.
Panhandling for money. But again, like, they're racist fucking white people are like, oh, like I like her. Like, she fucking tells me the things I want to hear, and she's black, and she makes me not feel bad about myself.
Yep.
When people tell me that I'm racist.
And that's all I need. That's all I need. And it's amazing. It is truly, truly amazing. All right. So, Brad, let's see. Let's see if you knew what this weekend's stupid story is. God damn, it's awesome. So this image
turns out that Mr. No Personality Milk Toast was quite the party animal back in the day.
Oh my God. So apparently Ron DeSantis, you are absolutely correct. Ron DeSantis is pictured as a teacher.
He was a teacher. He was a high school teacher at the time. Yes.
But
first of all, before we get there, that dude was a fucking teacher.
Yeah.
Really?
I know. Like,
All right.
Maybe he was cooler then. And so during his time as a teacher, there's a picture of him with three high school young ladies drinking. And he's like, they're all having a good time. I don't know when this picture was taken. I don't know if it was when they had already graduated and they were like as senior frogs or whatever. I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The 2024 Republican primary starts today. Because here is the image. I'm going to throw it up. Here is the image. Brad, you can see this? Yes?
I can.
The image says Ron DeSantis was having a drink party with his students when he was a high school teacher. Having drinks with your underage girls and cuddling with them certainly looks pretty gross in a Phoebophile-esque. By the way, there's a very good comic who does a joke about, like, that R. Kelly is technically not a pedophile.
he's a FIBAphile. He was like, but the only reason why we don't say that is because if you say that, you sound like a pedophile.
What? So what does that even fucking mean?
So
first of all, I don't even know.
The fact that I have to explain this also makes me seem like a creep. So I'm going to be very quick about this. But from my
look, I absolve you of any wrongdoing.
So. Yeah, thank you. So I think the difference is like a pedophile likes like little kids. An e-phoebophile likes like underage, but like that like 14 to 17. Right.
So
like
so Matt Gaetz would be so Matt Gaetz would like technically be an e-phoebophile.
He'd be an e-phoebophile, yeah. But okay. The only people who would say that are people who are pedophiles. So, like, no, I'm not a pedophile. Well, I'm an e-phoebophile.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine that defense being turned out as a well, actually.
Your Honor, to be clear, like, I'm not some creep, right?
I'd like the record to reflect.
Right. So, okay, this guy putting this picture out there and this guy saying that, you're like, wow, okay, that's crazy. But no, that's not the problem. It's the part at the top, my friend, is that Donald Trump, this is on his app, Truth Social, says, no way, ? And then I don't have the second picture, but he sarcastically writes above this again, Ron DeSanctimonious would never do that. Like, so, again, this is the...
And by the way, if you weren't... If you didn't think that Donald Trump didn't see Ron DeSantis as a threat, this should dispel any notion of that happening.
So this is the worst, by the way, this is the worst thing that could happen to Ron DeSantis or this early on, because there is nothing the QAnon MAGA psychos love more than this guy's a pedophile story. They love it, even though a lot of their people have come out as
being. Yeah, but say why did they turn on Matt Gaetz then, when that all came out?
Yeah, it's because he supports them, but like they love this person we don't like is a pedophile.
Mm.
He's not going to be able to get this off of him. And look, And the thing is, I don't know what that picture means, and I'm not speculating.
Oh my god. But if it doesn't so, look if, good. If some, doesn't look good. What are the odds that at a Republican primary, Trump brings with him at least one of the girls allegedly that's in this picture?
Hi.
And then calls it out during the debate.
I think there is a good chance he calls it out at the debate.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, well, what about the picture of you with those three young ladies, Ron? What about it, huh, Ron?
Have you also noticed that he was making some rounds last week, Trump was, and they were asking him about potential primary contenders. And he went off on DeSantis, and he's like, he's not loyal, he sucks, you should have seen him when he asked for my endorsement. He was crying, like, please, sir, like, you know, all that shit.
Oh, he said, sir. That means that never happened.
But when they asked him about other folks like Nikki Haley and Mike Pence and stuff like that, he's like, oh, yeah, have them all run. The more the merrier. Like, this is great. Because he knows that they're of no threat to him. And the more diluted the field is, the better it works out for him.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Look, man, that's a hell of a opening shot from Trump.
Yeah.
To just be like, is my opponent a pedophile? I don't know. Like, that's wild, dude. That's wild. I Googled Ron DeSantis, and the first story that came up is Donald Trump insinuates that Ron DeSantis is a pedophile.
But here's the other problem that Trump has, though. And again, like, this doesn't stick to him with his voters. But, like, DeSantis could easily just fire back and be like, what are you doing in the dressing room for Miss Teen USA pageants, bro? Like why are you back there with those young girls?
Right. Like look, he should be able to do that. But do you really want to make it a tit for tat on pedophilia?
Who's less gross than a pedophile?
Right. Like, like, I'm not sure that goes the way people think it does. Like,
yeah,
backhand, and then it just fucking hits you right back in the face. Cause then it's like, no, Donald Trump was there protecting those girls or some other bullshit that they'll say. They're like, no, no, you were trying to fuck these girls. It's like, yeah, the picture looks like you're trying to fuck those girls. Like it does. And he can just deny that to the hilt, right? Like, because there's no vote, there's no video or image right. of that, right? I don't think Ron DeSantis is going to win the primary. I think shit like that's going to stick to him. And for MAGA people, whether it's true or not, it's irrelevant. I mean, look at all the shit they believe about Hillary Clinton. But for MAGA shit, I think it's going to be – I think this is like – that's like a perfect storm for them. Like a guy they don't like, and maybe he's a pedophile.
On the other hand, those people that would devour this like it was a fucking, you know, steak thrown into a river of piranhas, those people are voting for Trump anyway. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's any voters you're swaying with this evidence to Trump from DeSantis that, you know, depending on the context of the picture. Like, if it can be explained tangibly, then, you know, then I don't think it moves anybody. If DeSantis can't come up with like a decent explanation, maybe a little different.
Yeah, like if it was like, hey man, these girls went to my high school that I taught at, but this is like 5 years later, and you're like, and I was at a bar and they wanted to take a picture. I got no issues with that. Like, right. A little bit weird, but I don't like you can't fundamentally have an issue with that. But if it's like, nah, bro, they were seniors in high school and you were at a party. Nah, man. Like, I'm not even sure you could pull it. Like, it's a year after high school. It's not a good look. But, or, you know, Ron DeSantis could be like, I don't know those girls. And then it's the, we got to find them and try to figure out who they are and all this other stuff. And guess what? If you do know them, I wouldn't lie about it. That's a bad idea. It's a real bad idea. But I don't know. But I think there's a decent chance that this and other things that are like, real fucked up, Trump is going to go after, and that's just going to stick to him. And once it does, look, you're right. This is not going to move. Like, this is the people who are really going to enjoy this are like the hardcore MAGA people. But there's a lot of people who are still on the fence with Trump. And if they perceive DeSantis as weak, then he's in trouble.
Yes. Like, I don't think that they would leave DeSantis and go to Trump. I think they would leave DeSantis and go to another Republican. I think that's the thing that he has to worry about is just losing that unified block of support.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I don't know. I think Trump is going to be. I somehow think he will be worse to DeSantis than he will be to Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. I think he will be far worse. I think he sees this as like this is a real threat. Like, this is his last chance to become president because he's going to be way too fucking old the next time. This is his last chance of being president. He probably, whether he wants to admit it or not out loud, he's got to feel the party slipping away from him, right? Especially after the midterms. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want this guy to come in and become the new Trump, right? He thinks that he built this great base of people who are really reasonable and not lunatics. And and he deserves to keep them. But I think now, like his feeling between, like his feelings for Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton are just like, they're just enemies, right? Like they're on the other side, but he's not worried about them taking his voters, right? He feels very personal. It's clear that he feels very personal about his voters, like, you know, the uneducated that he loves so much. So I can't imagine he would want that taken from him and to watch somebody else take those voters and then proceed on to possibly the White House. No, I think he'll be even worse.
I mean, it's great.
I saw that image and the first comment under it was eat each other, eat each other, eat each other. Like, do it. Like, they were so happy. Like, holy shit. Like, holy shit, dude. It is really happening. And yeah, it's really happening.
And see, I feel like that the person that's going to stoke those flames is someone who's arrogant enough to think that they have a shot of winning, but is also just an asshole and has in reality no shot. So Mike Pompeo going to throw all the kindling onto that fire. 100%.
Oh, you damn right. Like, Pompeo's going to be interesting once he really starts to ramp up and, like, get out there. Because he's going to have to pretend he wasn't involved in a ton of shit.
Mm-hmm.
While then, like, criticizing Trump. And at a certain point, you got to criticize the man in his face.
Yeah. But here's the other problem with him. For him, that dude is inherently unlikable. Like, he's smug, he's condescending, and he can't turn it off. So, like, when you listen to him speak, you're just like, I fucking hate this guy. Like, I want to punch him in his face. Like, he's a dick.
Yeah, he's a douchebag. I don't like Mike Pompeo at all. Like, there's nothing about him that I find that interesting. Here's a dark horse entry who I want to run just so he can stand toe to toe on the debate stage with Trump. Rex Tillerson. it's time for my man Big Rex to get his payback.
I just want him to do it just so he could stand up there and then be like, you know, like, you know, what was it, you know, what did you think of the job Trump did, like, while you were Secretary of State? And it's like, I think I said it best in that report story. He's a fucking moron.
He's a fucking moron. Like, Rex out. That's the only reason
I completely forgot about Rex Tillerson's existence until you just spoke his name.
I mean, much like the Candace Owens things, like, I discovered that as I was talking about Mike Pompeo. I was like, who was that other fat white dude? Oh, yeah, Rex. I was like, that's right. He had, like, a lot of, like, oil baron looking dudes.
He was a very oil baron looking guy. The only reason that I laugh at him, because of the fucking moron comment, and also because I just remember Mitt Romney groveling for the Secretary of State position before Trump.
Yeah.
Only to get fucking, you know, knocked out for Mr. Exxon.
Yeah. Look, there is a lot to respect about Rex Tillerson just from his ability to become, like, a guy who worked at Exxon, like, practically pumping gas to running the place. Other than that, that guy was a dirtbag. Like, he was a real piece of shit. That's it. Like, that guy's got some, like, serious, like, work ethic. I appreciate that. But that guy got fired on the toilet, which is hilarious to me. Like, God damn it. I knew I shouldn't have picked that up. I shouldn't have picked up the phone, Rex. All right. That is it for us. Tune in next week. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. Will there be more balloons? I don't know. Will there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
God, if you're trying to, like, you're flying all the balloons at this point, right? Like, you're putting them all up.
Yeah, you just let them go. Yeah, totally empty. It's totally empty. Yeah. Just watch America slowly just eat itself.
Right. Just to fuck with people. Like you release, like, 10 balloons and you even tell them, like, hey, one of these is gathering data. The other nine are just decoys. Like, have fun trying to figure out which is which.
Nine or 10 F-22s just leaving Air Force Base all at once. Get in the air. Just get in the air. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.